Back to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. We are in the second half of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows, and we thank you for joining us or staying with us since the beginning of the show. Today we are talking about falling in and out of love when the feeling is gone. So give us a call if this is your experience, if you need some advice, or if you have a testimony on this subject. 855-454-5905 is how you can reach us. We know a lot of people love social networking sites. Facebook is our second favorite book, so let's go there and find out what people are saying. Marcos, what do folks have to say on the book?
All right. Well, you know, we're talking about falling in and out of love here on Marriage Beyond the Vows. And on our Facebook page, if you haven't done so already, we invite you to go visit Facebook.com, Marriage Beyond the Vows, and hit the like button. Yvonne Williams says, I've been in love and fell out of love over the past 27 years of marriage. However, through it all, love has always been there. Amen, Yvonne. Wanted to post again for all of you who are just tuning in. I want to say thank you so much for all the kind words congratulating us on our anniversary. My wife and I were truly encouraged and blessed. However, after 15 years of marriage, the celebration is still young. So we're just so grateful for many of you who've encouraged us, and we're having a great time. We appreciate it so much. We have some great resources on Facebook. Again, we invite you to visit us on our Facebook page and hit the like button at Marriage Beyond the Vows. There's a great video I posted for all you parents, specifically of daughters. There's a great video about modesty that I had the opportunity to watch with my daughter, and I recommend for you to watch with your daughter as well, especially now through the summer months, because it's actually about the bikini. And it's a great, great conversational tool to have with your teenage daughter. We also have talked about just how financial health will impact your relationship. We're getting ready to have a couple of weeks a show on finances, on financial struggles, financial security, financial peace, and all that good stuff. So we want to encourage you to go ahead and get in on the conversation. Post your comments there. You know, Nefertina German says that it definitely does. For our family, we have both to decide to trust God and lay at his feet together and not fight with each other. And Deneen Jones Wilson says greatly, a lot of stress, which affects every other aspect of your marriage. And then we have a ton, dozens and dozens of more comments there. But again, we invite you to follow us and join us on Facebook.com/Beyond the Vows. All right, so we're going to go back to our phone lines. Right before the break, we had mentioned that Mary from the Philadelphia area, or from Pennsylvania, is in a situation right now where even last night she was seriously considering leaving her husband. So, Mary, we want to go ahead and introduce you to everyone. Mary, good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning.
Good morning. We appreciate your patience. I know you were on hold for quite a bit, especially during the break. Now tell us, you have mentioned to our producer that just last night you were considering leaving your marriage.
I've been contemplating it. I've been struggling for the last 6 months with this love falling out of it and a spiritual battle. And I realized last night that all day long I was like, I had it planned. This is what I'm going to do. And when I get home, he's not there. And, you know, after a few hours, he had come in, and I realized that it was just, if I would have left then, I realized that God's saying no. But in my heart, it's just so hurtful that I internalize and keep everything in. Although I say I take it to the Lord and leave it there, in actuality, I'm not, because I still have these feelings. I'm saved, he's not. So there's our struggle.
Okay.
He had at one point, I had started going to church with us as a family, and then all of a sudden he just stopped. So now he doesn't go, maybe periodically, but I'm in a spiritual transition for myself. So I think that's where all the anxiety and the issues are really stemming from, because the Lord is calling me to do some more things for him, and it's fearful for me. And I can't really share it with him because he doesn't understand, because he's thinking of it carnally, not spiritually. So we have a constant struggle, even with parenting. We have a teenage daughter who just completed her first year of college, and there's some things that she has him wrapped around her fingers, basically.
Okay.
You know, she didn't want to stay in a dorm room. She felt that she should be in an apartment, and he feels the same. You know, now she needs to grow up. Like, okay. So we struggle in areas.
Mary, there are a few things going on here. I mean, I would love to help you with the parenting side, and I think that's just, we don't have the time to really get into that. Let's start with the marriage part. You said something I have a question about here. When you said you're going through a spiritual transition yourself, like what's going on? What is that spiritual transition?
I'm being called into ministry.
Okay.
And
Explain that. Into ministry, what kind of ministry?
I have been teaching, I have been ministering, and my pastor is kind of putting me in different positions. And I know the Lord is calling me to minister, but I continue to put a block up of fear.
Okay. I'm gonna interject there. I don't do this often, Mary, but I believe, you know, God is calling me right now to share this scripture with you. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 16, it says, how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? And it's talking about being married to an unbeliever.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever ministry you're called to, the number one ministry that God has called you, not your pastor, but God, is to your husband, to your marriage. There's no way you're going to be an effective minister and be able to be used by God if your household is not in order. And so, before you can meet anyone else's needs, I'm not saying drop ministry and don't do anything, but your primary focus must be your husband and winning him. And the Bible calls about how you would do that. It's not by words, but by deeds. How great of a wife. And you got to ask yourself, are you being the Christian wife? Are you being the best wife that you possibly can be? Not if your husband deserves it or not, but does God deserve for you to be? Because you're an ambassador of Christ in your own house. And from what I'm hearing, again, I don't know. I'm not in your house. I don't hear the conversation. But it sounds like you even have a sense of criticism towards your husband.
And I think I do. At this point, I do.
But you have to minister to him. Look how Jesus loved us even when we didn't respond. He still gave selflessly. For you, the challenge would be Luke 9:23, to deny yourself daily. You have to get up every morning and say, I'm going to love my husband. Treat him like the way he deserves to be treated. Not because, again, not because he himself deserves it, but because God so destined it, that you would love him and treat him in a great way and win him over by your behavior.
I was at the point I don't want to.
But then are you being obedient to God?
And that's where I was at. I'm like, and then I had to go and repent. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, I remember when I left the church and how, you know, God never left me.
Mm-hmm.
So then he does bring it back to my remembrance. Who are you? And how can you judge or cast judgment on someone else when you're not God? And you know, that's why I had to fall on my knees last night. And that's why I'm still there, because mm-hmm. I was convicted.
Amen.
Because I can't act that way and think that that's going to be of God, or God's going to be happy with that.
And you know what? I appreciate you getting to that point, and I think that that's so important, to get to that point where we don't want to be obedient, but we surrender. And we say, you know, it's not my will, but your will be done. And you know what? Something that I just want to let you know that I can hear on the other end is the way you talk about this and the way you talk about the other ministry, whatever ministry you feel called to, and there's a certain passion and excitement. Like if I can see you right now, you would have lit up when you talked about, oh, I'm being called to ministry and my pastor's asking me this and I want to do it, but I'm scared. But there's still this excitement. But when it came, and even right now when you shared about your marriage, it's like, oh, man, I have to do this. And I want to encourage you, think about Jesus going to the cross. Now, that was painful. That pain does not compare to the pain that you're going to be going through. But it's the passion that he had. Now, it wasn't easy. And it was difficult. And the Bible says he prayed three different times until he finally got resolved and surrendered. And for you, although you've made this decision and that's a start, you're still going to have to wrestle until you're totally surrendered and embrace what God has given you. Your cross right now to carry is to deny yourself in this marriage.
And it's funny, I know it, but I haven't been willing to do it for the last 6 months.
And that's where you got to ask yourself, is Jesus truly Lord? Because that's what lordship and surrendering is all about. Not my will. Mm-hmm. Not Mary's will, but Mary dies. And it's like, and then that's when God truly moves. And then when people start saying, how in the world did this happen? How did God move? It's because you died to self and you let God work. Your husband might be closer to making it than you even realize. But only God knows that. And God is trying to work through you in this marriage. And, you know, it's easy for us to trust God with the easy things. But if we really trust God that he wants what's best for us, then we can trust that he's not putting us in a situation that's truly going to hurt us. That there's a bigger picture and there is a light at the end of the tunnel. We just don't see it right now.
No, I don't.
But Mary, I believe you're going to do the right thing. You're wrestling with this, but keep fighting through it. And I tell you, get resolved. I don't know how many times it's going to take for you to pray over and over again, but you got to get to that point where you're saying, you know, God, it's not my will, but your will. And then you'll see him work. And then plus you have a teenage child that's witnessing all this. I mean, there's so much at stake. The devil would love for you to just give up. And don't be deceived. You know, we can give up in ways and think, oh, I'm just giving it all to God. But deep down inside, you know what God is asking you to do.
Mm-hmm. I do.
All right, Mary, we thank you so much. You have a blessed day. Call us back. Let us know what you decided to do, how things went.
Thank you.
All right, Mary. Have a blessed day.
Take care. All right, stay right there. We're going to come right back, but we would love to have you on the phone. We're talking about falling in and out of love when the feeling is gone. The number is 855-454-5905, so make sure you get on the phone right now.
And not this Tiffany, but we will have another Tiffany who's talking about perhaps staying there with her husband, although he's been unfaithful and has a child outside of the marriage.
So we want you to hold on to that thought. We'll be right back with that story and more when Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. We're in the final segment of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. Again, the number to reach us, 855-454-5905. Let's go to the phones. We have Tiffany, not me, on line 4, calling in from the Philadelphia area. Tiffany, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
We're okay, Tiffany. We appreciate your patience. You were holding for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned to our producer that you're trying to stick with your husband, although he had a child through infidelity.
Yes. We have went over and we've been through the infidelity. We just recently found out that there is a child out the infidelity. And at that moment, I was just like, I'm going to leave. I don't want to deal with it. I'm not going to stick with it. But I decided to stick with it, and the thing now is financially, because now he has to be responsible and pay child support for this child. And at times I look at him and I get so disgusted with him, because financially it's hard already, and now we have this extra bill. We had this extra stress of income that we really don't have. And I feel sometimes I just want to get up and run, because I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for this child. I didn't ask to be responsibly, you know, to have to pay for this child, because by us being married, it's not just his money. It's our money. So it's like really, really stressing for me. I'm depressed. I don't look at him the same. And I feel myself losing a lot of respect for him. I feel myself falling out of love with him. And through it all, I'm still trying to remember that I do believe in God, and that God just challenging me to stay in this marriage due to the fact that I'm his wife, and being his wife, I should be there. I should be that support. But it's becoming so hard because we have three children together, and they're all, well, the youngest one is not a teenager, but the two oldest ones, they're teenagers.
Okay.
And it's, like, really, really hard.
All right. Well, a couple of things here. I think number one, amen. You've decided to stick in there and hold on to this marriage, and I think that is that's commendable. I think, however, you don't sound like you've totally counted the cost, because when you make a decision to forgive, you know, the Bible says in Matthew 18, it talks about, you know, Jesus' response to how many times should you forgive when your brother or sister sins against you, right? And there, you know, Peter was asking this question, and he's like, up to seven times. And Jesus is like, no, not seven times, but 77 times. And in other passages, 77 times seven. So it's an infinite amount of time in a day. However, I believe that this passage, what it refers to is that it's not that the person keeps doing this over and over again, but in your situation, you're going to have to decide maybe even more than once a day that you've forgiven your husband. And with that comes the whole package of forgiveness. You have to, if you forgive and truly forgive and reconcile, then you have to realize that this child is not just a bill, it's a responsibility that now your husband has as a consequence of his sin, but it's a child, and it's not the child's fault. And he needs to be able to be a father to this child. And so for at least 18 to 20-something years, he's going to be involved with the mother of this child, not involved in an intimate situation, I hope, if there's repentance there, but he's going to have some kind of contact with the mother, and you're going to have to count the cost. Can you endure this for the next 20-plus years? And the financial responsibility, but spending time, this child coming over, going on vacation with you possibly, I mean, different things, because he still needs to be a child. And that comes with you counting the cost. Are you truly ready and willing to pay the price of forgiving your husband? Because these are, you know, consequences of his sin.
Right. And that's what I'm struggling with that, because I'll just snap for any little thing, and if I'll attack him, and then I feel sorry for attacking him, and it's like we're good one day, and then we're making up another day, and then we're bad one day, and I'm just tired of going through the emotional roller coaster. But when I do pray, I don't get a divorce in my answers, and it's like,
okay, all right. So a couple of things, Tiffany. Well, first of all, you got to realize, okay, what led your husband to leave and to go outside of the marriage? It's his fault, 100%. But you got to look at, was there something lacking in you, in your marriage, that also opened that door? I'm not saying that you deserve it or that it's your fault, but there are lessons to learn. If there's infidelity, there's usually, on both ends, there's a problem. So have you been able to embrace and learn, okay, what did you need to do differently? Because if you're getting angry, you're snapping at your husband, you're only opening that door over again for him to step outside of the marriage. Again, I'm not saying that it's your fault or you're making him do this, but you also have to own your sin in this and your flaws. Because once you start doing that, you realize you're not a victim. This happened together. The marriage is both of your marriage, not just his marriage. It's your marriage as well. And so how can you protect them? And so if you decide to forgive, then you're going to have to do what 1 Corinthians 13, our theme scripture, it says, love always protects. How do you protect your husband from temptation? How do you protect your husband from not wanting to go back out there again? And again, you're going to have to really count the cost on loving him, on loving this child, and truly forgiving if that's what you decide to do. If not, then you can't. Because it's gonna do more harm than good for you, your children, that child, the marriage, everything, until you decide that you're gonna forgive. The Bible says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. God doesn't do that to us, right? He doesn't forgive us and then kind of hold it against us again and then forgive us and hold it against. He forgives once and for all. You're gonna have to make that decision every moment, every day, that you're gonna forgive your husband and you're not gonna hold this against him. If you made that decision to forgive.
Okay.
Even if it gets ugly and you have an ugly argument, you don't bring this up if you've forgiven it.
Right.
And it's a cost now you both have to pay. Because for pretty much for almost the rest of your life, for a long time, you're going to have to deal with this.
Right.
All right, Tiffany, we thank you so much. And we hope and pray you make the right decision and you believe God is calling you to forgive. So you're going to have to forgive the way God calls you to forgive. All right, Tiffany. Have a
blessed
day. All
right. Take care. Again, the number to call to reach us is 855-454-5905. Let's go to Malik calling in from Delaware. Malik, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Praise God.
Praise God. How are you?
I'm blessed, and you are too.
Yes.
Yeah, indeed. We are. We're very, very blessed. So, Malik, tell us, what are you, I know you're calling from the Delaware area. What is your comment or question regarding our topic of falling in and out of love?
Well, in the conversation I've listened to almost all morning, and me and my wife, we've been married 17 years, but we've been together almost 20 years. And we've come to the conclusion together that it's best that we, you know, separate and divorce from one another. One of the reasons is because I feel is that she doesn't love me. And never has loved me.
Okay.
And she doesn't communicate well with me. And, you know, I just feel that it's time, you know, to give you a for instance on why I say I feel she doesn't love me. I just recently suffered two strokes and I went blind.
Mm.
And I'm okay. That's all right. God is on my side. He just put me on a timeout. But when I was released from the hospital, she told me, she said, well, I'm not going to take care of you.
Okay.
Yep. And she had suffered a stroke maybe 3 years ago. And when she suffered her stroke, I was there for her, waited on her hand and foot from 7 o'clock in the morning till 7, 8 o'clock at night. You know, and that's what a marriage vows say. For better or for worse than sickness and in health.
Absolutely. Malik, quick question for you as I interject here. You been together 20 years. How long ago did you have the stroke?
Just earlier this year.
Okay, and is she still with you?
She's sitting right here listening to us.
Okay, great, great. And, well, I'm glad you're both on the line. Put her on for a second.
Hold on, here she is. Come on.
Yes.
Hi, good morning. This is Marco Mercado from Marriage Beyond the Vows. We are speaking to your husband, Malik, and he says that he feels like you've never truly loved him. Is that accurate?
I guess my way of expressing love is different than what he expects. Mm-hmm. I am not a touchy-feely person.
Okay.
But I provide the basics.
Okay. Now, you stayed with him, right? You maybe out of frustration, you said something like, you can't handle this or you're not going to be by his side, but you've remained by his side.
When he says I wouldn't take care of him, he actually left the hospital against medical advice.
Mm-hmm.
And my feeling is that there were people in the hospital who were trained professionals who could take better care of him than I could.
Okay. I figured there's another side to the story. That's why I wanted you on the line. Here's what I think. I think the both of you have, in 20-plus years that you've known each other, you've developed a lot of bad habits with your communication. You speak to each other a certain way. You're not building. You're tearing down one another. But deep inside, you're obviously committed to one another. Because if not, you wouldn't be together, especially through the stroke you've been through, the stroke he's been through. So it doesn't sound like, and again, this is just me from where I sit, doesn't sound like you're trying to leave each other. You just don't know how to live together. But it doesn't sound like, and you know, when he tells me that he was blind through a stroke, I'm like, who else is going to take him at this point? I mean, really? I mean, you guys are all you have for one another. And so you have three choices. You ready for this? You want to know what these choices are?
I'm listening.
All right. I'm glad you're listening, Malik. Number one, you could decide to stay miserable the way you've been. Not change a thing and stay miserable. That's one choice. Now, you might say, well, that's not really a choice, but you've been doing that for quite a while now. You're not very happy and you're miserable. You could decide to do that. Number two, you could decide to do what you said you would and say you could divorce. I don't think it's the right option. I don't think it's what God really wants, but you have that choice. Or number three, you can change and you can have a great relationship. You need to decide, the both of you, which one will it be? Because sometimes people, they don't make decisions and they stay in that misery. Or they just can't deal with it anymore and they move on. Or like I said, they decide to change. And I think Malik, and I didn't catch your wife's name, but I think the both of you have right now a perfect opportunity to say, we can press that reset button and really learn to love one another the way the Bible calls you to love one another.
Okay. We've been to 5, 6, maybe 7 different marriage counselors.
Okay.
And the reset button is gone.
Okay, so you know what happens when the reset button's gone? Then you unplug, and then you plug it back in.
No, there's no change on her side. See, what I learned after I got married to her is that she'd never been taught to love. You know, everybody lives differently.
Sure.
You know, some people are taught what true love is, and love is not materialistic.
Sure, we know that. But there's a part of love that people feel love through materialism, through gifts.
But that's not true love.
But it could be.
Undescribable emotion.
Okay.
And, you know, some people are taught from early childhood to show love and affection. And some people...
But Malik, let me just interject. You can't do this because you're coming across like this expert in love, and yet true love would love your wife in spite of her flaws. You wouldn't be talking about leaving. The type of love you're talking about is selfish. You're saying, my wife is not meeting my needs, that therefore I want a divorce. That's not love. Instead of focusing on her and how she's not loving, you got to focus on you and realize that this is the wife that God gave you, that you chose, and you've been together for 20 plus years. This is your opportunity to show what true love is and show her, whether she earned it or not, that you will love her unconditionally. Because what you're doing is not true love. You're basically saying, she's falling short, so I'm going to leave her.
You said what now?
You're basically saying, she's falling short. She's not loving me the way I want to be loved, so I'm going to leave. Instead of saying, what Christ has done for us is, we don't deserve his love, but I'm still going to love them enough to sacrifice my life. That's true love.
Okay. I've tried to accept her way of loving me. Okay? I've tried to accept her way of loving me, and it just doesn't work.
Okay.
And in trying to accept that, we've been the marriage counselor, and we've been over what the reasons are that we're going through what we're going through, and like you said, you know, try and change one another. Not each other change each other, but each one change itself, you know, to try and make it work, and there's just no change.
Exactly, but you know, the change is lacking in you, Malik. As I hear you, you're so conditional. Look, I'm not saying that it's easy, okay? That's one thing. I'm not going to say, okay, Malik, you just got to do this and listen. But God is calling you, especially as the head of the household, to love your wife. That's what the Bible challenges, right? It doesn't even challenge so much the wife to love the husband. It says the wife must respect the husband, but the husband must love his wife the way Christ loves the church. That's the challenge. So this is what you're telling me. If I were to change you and your wife for a minute and, you know, plug in the church and Christ, this is what Christ would be telling the church. Church, I've tried to accept your love and you haven't been loving me the way I want, so now I'm leaving you, church. Instead of, church, you've fallen short, but I'm still going to show you that I love you and I'm going to be there for you no matter what. Now, I still expect you to change, but I want you to know that I love you unconditionally. See, that's not what you're saying. You understand?
I understand what you're saying, but like you said, the man is the head of the household, and she's never given me the respect as a man in order to be. There's a whole lot more.
I'm sure there is. And you're telling me all these marriage counselors you've been a part of, but I think the common denominator here, and again, it's just my opinion from where I sit, and I've been doing this a little while. You don't sound like you've embraced what God has called you to do in this marriage. That's all I'm saying. Sounds like you're not there. Forget what your wife is doing or not doing. She has her own issues, and I believe that they're real, that she needs to change. But it's whether she changes or not, you need to change. I don't believe you've loved your wife the way Christ loves the church.
You're wrong about that.
Okay. I've been wrong before, but I just doesn't sound like it to me.
Wrong. I love my wife to death. I really do.
Not for that.
Okay.
Being in the house every day, there's like arguments, and we have a teenage daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she sees that, and I don't like to argue in front of my daughter. You know,
is your daughter? How old is your daughter?
14.
Okay. This is what you need to do. Ask your daughter if she sees, and ask her to be really honest. Don't put her on the spot. Don't have your wife around. Just you and your daughter have a daddy and daughter time. And say, I want your honest opinion. I'm really struggling in my marriage. You've seen our arguments. Do you believe I've loved your mother the way Christ loves the church? And well, there you'll have your answer.
Okay. I've asked her. That. I didn't ask her in that sense.
No, ask her that, though. Did she believe that you've loved her mother the way Christ has loved the church?
Okay, I asked her in a sense that, but not in the frame that you just asked.
All right. So will you do it over and ask her what I'm asking you?
I will.
Okay. And listen, don't correct her. Don't defend it. Don't say we've talked.
Let her flow naturally.
All right. All right. Well, listen, we got to go. Unfortunately, we don't have a whole lot of time, and we have some other callers waiting. But, Malik, I do appreciate your call, and I appreciate your wife coming on the phone as well. Thank her for me.
Guys, have a safe and blessed weekend.
All right, you too.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. Let's go to Robert calling in from North Carolina. Robert, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hey, good morning. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise God. Now, help us out here. You're calling. I know you're calling from North Carolina. You've mentioned to our producer that over 14 years ago, your wife went to work and never came back?
Well, what it was is we've been together for 14 years.
Okay.
We've been married for 10 of those 14 years.
Okay.
2 years ago, October of 2011, she went to work one day, never came home, went to the bank, took every penny, and I haven't seen or heard from her since. And I'm really just needing some closure.
Wow.
The closure I'm looking for is I kind of just want to know what it was that I may have said or done because I don't want to perpetuate that again.
Sure.
And I want to know, you know, is it time for me to really consider moving on, you know, with my life, because I took those vows very seriously.
Sure.
And, you know, not having any closure or, you know, it's just, I just feel like it's time to do something. I've been praying about it. And so, you know, anything that you guys could share, you know, to encourage the will of God for our life would be greatly appreciated.
Okay. Robert, first of all, we thank you for sharing this with us, and we definitely fear your pain and your wanting to have closure. It's right. Absolutely normal there. Was there any indication that she was unhappy?
I would say yes. We were both a little unhappy. I don't know what happened to my wife in her lifetime, but like Malik was saying and other people, my wife was not an affectionate woman. There was no intimacy. There was no romance, no anything. And I tried my best to encourage her and walk with Christ and counseling, and she really didn't participate in any of that kind of stuff. And in some way, I think that this was her way of you know, releasing me from it. Okay. I think.
And it's possible. It's possible, right? We could only speculate. Is there any way for you to have contact with her?
No, I have no idea where she is.
Wow.
She used to work within a mile from where we lived, and I went there once to try to contact her, and they told me that she no longer works there. So I have no contact whatsoever in terms of communicating with her on any level. So,
wow.
And I've been dealing with it for like 2 years. So,
okay, I'm going to give you some advice I rarely give, but I do think that might be a good idea to file for a divorce because she left. Based on abandonment, and you know, you don't know where she is. And I'm not saying even go through with it totally, but as you go through the divorce, you know, as you know, divorce can be a long process at times. At some point, you might have an opportunity to encounter and just talk at some point. Now, it depends. You're in North Carolina. I think sometimes in the southern states, they're a little bit more conservative, and they'll try to talk you out of the divorce. And
right.
So the court sometimes even will encourage you to make sure you at least have a conversation before the divorce is finalized. And that way you can have closure. Now, again, I'm not even saying file for divorce with the intention of totally going through with it, but at least to give it that last shot before you sign or before she signs to say, what went wrong? Like, is there any way to salvage this? And if her answer is absolutely not, I'm done. At least you'll have your answer there. But it sounds like the only way at this point, and I'm not giving you legal advice. I'm not an attorney, so I can't say this is how it would work. But that would be my advice to you to at least go through the court system and seeing if there's a way you can have closure then.
Well, I've attempted it. Here in North Carolina, you have to do what's called a legal separation before you can get a divorce.
Okay, so you did the legal separation already.
So I did that and sent it to her place of employment because I didn't know where she lived, and she never signed it. She never returned it. She never done anything with it. So the 2 years will be up in October, and then I can do what's called a non-contestant.
Yeah. You could do a non-contestant, but what I'm saying is before you can even do that, I mean, there are ways you can track her down at least to bring closure to this. And if not, I mean, look, if she doesn't want to be found, then you probably can't find her. And at that point, you're just going to have to make a decision. I can't help but sit back here and wonder, you know, is everything okay? Like, did something happen to her? Because that's just very strange as well for someone to just disappear that way.
I know. I kind of agree with that.
What about family or friends? Don't you know any of her relatives?
Well, that's the other part. I mean, in the whole 14 years that I've known her, the only person I've ever met was her daughter.
Wow.
And her parents were deceased. Both of her siblings have severe mental problems.
Mm.
I never met a nephew, a niece, an aunt, an uncle.
Wow, Robert, this sounds like a movie, man. It's like a Lifetime movie. But listen, man, all you can do at this stage then is take it to God. And say, God, this is what I'm trying to do. But it does sound like you have a void because you just want some closure. And ask God for that. I mean, there's no guarantee that God will give you that because that's not promised in the Bible, that you will have closure for every situation in life. But who knows?
Well, let me ask you this real quick, because I was listening to a couple other callers, and you were saying the two circumstances that God allows divorce. And being able to move on and marry again. In my situation, do you feel that God will still hold me accountable, you know, where she's concerned? Because there was a period of time that I chose not to entertain anyone, you know, because I felt like I was betraying her, you know, and my marriage. And I still struggle with it in some areas as it pertains to moving forward or possibly meeting someone else.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what the scripture that comes to mind for your situation is very different than the advice that I've given others. And so I'll be real quick on that. And obviously it comes from the book of Corinthians, same one that I was referring to earlier in 1 Corinthians 7. And I just want to read this to you really quickly here. 1 Corinthians 7. verse 14. It says, for the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children will be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. But if the unbeliever leaves, let it be so. The brother or sister is not bound in such circumstances. God has called us to live in peace. So when someone is not living as a Christian, they're not living the right way, obedient to God, right? They're an unbeliever, which sounds like what your wife has done, because, you know, someone that's trying to follow the scriptures just won't up and leave. Again, I don't know all the circumstances. Right. Maybe she has her reasons. But in this case, it says then let them leave. Like, right. You're not bound in such circumstances. Again, it's not your decision. You wanted to work this out. She left. So right. According to 1 Corinthians 7, then you're not bound in that circumstance. You will be free.
Well, I want to thank God for giving you that scripture, because that's confirmation. I was given that same exact scripture about a week ago as I was talking to some other Christian brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. And I was given that same scripture. And so, you know, that's big for me right now.
Amen.
Believe it or not, man, I'm at work and I'm stuck. I'm
all sitting right.
In this big old mud patch.
All right. Well, brother, look, man, move on. I pray that God will give you closure. But it sounds like you're getting some answers already. So, amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
All right, Robert. Have a blessed day.
Have a blessed weekend.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
All right. Sounds like we have just a few quick minutes for one final call here.
Right.
We have an anonymous caller.
All right. So we're going to ask that you make this one short. Sorry about that. But caller, you are live on the air.
I'm doing what they call.
Are you hearing me?
Hello? Caller. Okay. I guess the caller
like
wasn't paying
attention. She was talking, but not to us.
Yeah.
All right. Well. It's been a great, great show. We want to thank so much. We want to thank everyone, really, that's called in, and all those who have not called in, but you've decided to listen and follow us on Facebook and all that good stuff. So once again, we invite you to follow us on our Facebook page. You go to Facebook.com, look for Marriage Beyond the Vows. And also, if you want to stay connected with me, you can go to PraisePhilly.com. You can listen to previous shows if you missed one in the past weeks or in the past months. Or also, you can look for me, Marcos Mercado. Send me a message. Stay connected with me as well. Many great things we have as well. You could also go to PraiseCharlotte.com.
All right. And we want to say thank you so much for joining us. And thanks to all of our producers, including Ron and our producer right here in Philly, Larry. Thank you. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.